Chapter 28. By and by was getting up time, so I come down the ladder and started for downstairs, but as I come to the girl's room, the door was open. I see Mary Jane sitting by her old hair trunk, which was open. She had been packing things in it, getting ready to go for England, but she had stopped now with a folded gown in her lap and had her face in her hands, crying. I felt awful bad to see it. Of course anybody would. I went in there. Says, "Miss Mary Jane, you can't bear to see people in trouble." "And I can't, most always. Tell me about it." So she done it. It was the niggers. I just expected it. She said the beautiful trip to England was most spoiled for her. She didn't know how she was ever going to be happy there, knowing the mother and the children weren't ever going to see each other no more. And then busted out bitterer than ever and flung up her hands and says, "Oh, dear, dear, to think they ain't ever going to see each other any more." "But they will inside of 2 weeks, I know it," says I. Laws, it was out before I could think. And before I could budge, she throws her arms around my neck and told me to say it again, say it again, say it again. I see I had spoke too sudden, said too much, and was in a close place. I asked her to let me think a minute. And she sat there, very impatient, excited, handsome, but looking kind of happy and eased up, like a person that's had a tooth pulled out. So I went to studying it out, and I says to myself, "I reckon a body that ups and tells the truth when he's in a tight place is taking considerable many risks. Though I ain't had no experience, can't say for certain, but looks so to me anyway, and yet here's a case where I'm blessed if it don't look to me like the truth is better, actually safer than a lie. I must lay it by in my mind and think it over some time or other. It's so kind of strange and unregular. I never see nothing like it. Well, I says to myself at last, I'm going to chance it. I'll up and tell the truth this time, though it does seem most like sitting down on a keg of powder and touching it off, just to see where you go. And I says, "Miss Mary Jane, is there any place out of town a little ways where you could go and stay for 3 or 4 days?" "Oh, yes, Mr. Lothrop's. Why?" "Never mind yet. I'll tell you how I know the niggers will see each other again inside of 2 weeks, here in this house, and prove how I know it. Will you go to Mr. Lothrop's and stay 4 days?" "4 days," she said. "I'll stay a year." "All right," I said. "I don't want nothing more out of you than just your word. I'd rather have it than another man's kiss the Bible." She smiled and reddened up very sweet, and I says, "If you don't mind it, I'll shut the door and bolt it." And I come back and sit down and says, "Now don't you holler, just sit still and take it like a man. I've got to tell the truth, and you want to brace up, Miss Mary, because it's a bad kind, and going to be hard to take, but there ain't no help for it. These uncles of yourn ain't no uncles at all. They're a couple of frauds. Regular deadbeats. Now, we're over the worst of it. You can stand the rest middle and easy." It jolted her up like everything, of course, but I was over the shoal water now, so I went right along. Her eyes, blazing higher and higher all the time, told her every blame thing, from where we first struck that young fool going up the steamboat, clear through to where she'd flung herself under the king's breast at the front door, and he kissed her 16 or 17 times. Then up she jumps, with her face afire like sunset. Says, "The brute! Come, don't waste a minute, not a second. We'll have them tarred and feathered and flung in the river." Says I, "Certainly, but do you mean before you go to Mr. Lothrop's? Or, oh," she says, "what am I thinking about?" And she said, set right down again, "Don't mind what I said, please don't. You won't, now will you?" Laying her silky hand on mine, in that kind of a way that I said I would die first. "I never thought I was so stirred up," she said. "Now go on. I won't do so any more. You tell me what to do, whatever you say, I'll do it." "Well," I said, "it's a rough gang, them two frauds, and I'm fixed so I got to travel with them a while longer, whether I want to or not. I'd rather not tell you why. And if you was to blow on them, this town would get me out of their claws. I'd be all right. But there'd be another person that you don't know about who'd be in big trouble. Well, we got to save him, ain't we?" "Of course. Well, then we won't blow on them. Saying them words put a good idea in my head. I see how maybe I could get me and Jim rid of the frauds, get them jailed here, and then leave. But I didn't want to run the raft in daytime without anybody aboard to answer questions about me. But me. So I didn't want the plan to begin working until pretty late tonight. I says, Miss Mary Jane, I'll tell you what we'll do. And you won't have to stay at Mr. Lothrop's so long, neither. How far is it? But a little short of 4 miles, right out in the country, back here. Well, that'll answer. Now you go along out there, and lay low till 9 or 9:30 tonight, and then get them to fetch you home again. Tell them you thought of something. Now, if you get here before 11, put a candle in this window, and if I don't turn up, wait till 11. And then if I don't turn up, it means I'm gone and out of the way and safe. Then you come out and spread the news around and get these beats jailed. Good, she said. I'll do it. And if it just happens so that I don't get away, but get took up along with them, you must up and say I told you the whole thing beforehand. You must stand by me all you can. Stand by you? Indeed I will. They shan't touch a hair of your head, she says. I see her nostrils spread, and her eyes snap when she said it, too. Now, if I get away, I shan't be here, I says, to prove these rapscallions ain't your uncles. And I couldn't do it if I was here. I could swear they was beats and bummers, and that's all, although that's worth something. There's others can do it better than I can, and they're people that ain't going to be doubted as quick as I'd be. I'll tell you how to find them. Give me a pencil and a piece of paper. There. Royal, Nonsuch, Bricksville. Put it away and don't lose it. When the court wants to find out something about these two, let them send up to Bricksville. Say they've got the man that played the Royal Nonsuch, and ask him for some witnesses. Why, you have that entire town down here before you can hardly wink, Miss Mary. They'll come down biling, too. I judged we'd got everything fixed about right now, so I says, just let the auction go along, don't worry. Nobody don't have to pay for things they buy till a whole day after an auction, on accounts of short notice, and they ain't a-going out of this till they get that money. And the way we've fixed it, the sale ain't going to count. And they ain't going to get no money. It's just the way it was with the niggers. It weren't no sale. The niggers will be back before long. Why, they can't collect the money for the niggers yet. They're in the worst kind of fix, Miss Mary. Well, she says, I'll run down to breakfast now, and then I'll start straight for Mr. Lothrop's. Oh, deed, that ain't the ticket, Miss Mary, I says. By no manner of means. You go before breakfast. Why? What did you reckon I wanted to tell you to go at all, Miss Mary? Well, I never thought. Come to think, I don't know. What was it? It's because you ain't one of these leather-faced people. I don't want no better book than what your face is. A body can sit down and read it off like coarse print. Do you reckon you can go and face your uncles when they come to kiss you good morning? And if there, there, don't. Yes, I'll go before breakfast. I'll be glad to. And leave my sisters with them? Yes, never mind about them. They've got to stand it yet a while. They might suspicion something if all of you was to go. I don't want you to see them, nor your sisters, nor nobody in this town. If a neighbor was to ask, how is your uncle's this morning? Your face would tell something. No, you go right along, Miss Mary Jane. I'll fix it with the rest of them. I'll tell Miss Susan to give your love to your uncles and say you went away a few hours to get a little rest and a change, or to see a friend, and you'll be back tonight or early in the morning. Gone to see a friend is all right, but I won't have my love given to them. Well, then it shan't be. It was well enough to tell her so, no harm in it. It was only a little thing to do, no trouble, and it's the little things that smooths people's roads the most down here below. It would make Mary Jane comfortable, and it wouldn't cost nothing. Then I says, there's one more thing, that bag of money. Well, they've got that. It makes me feel pretty silly to think how they got it. No, you're out there. They ain't got it. Why, who's got it? I wish I knowed. But I don't. I had it because I stole it from them and stole it to give to you, and I know where I hid it. But I'm afraid it ain't there no more. I'm awful sorry, Miss Mary Jane, sorry as I can be, but I done the best I could. I did, honest. I come nigh getting caught, and I had to shove it into the first place I come to and run. And it weren't a good place. Oh, stop blaming yourself. It's too bad to do it. I won't allow it. You couldn't help it. It wasn't your fault. Now, where did you hide it? I didn't want to set her thinking about her troubles again. And I couldn't seem to get my mouth to tell her what would make her see that corpse laying in the coffin with that bag of money on his stomach, so for a minute I didn't say nothing. I says, I'd rather not tell you where I put it, Miss Mary Jane, if you don't mind letting me off, but I'll write it for you on a piece of paper, and you can read it along the road to Mr. Lothrop's if you want to. You reckon that'll do? Oh, yes. So I wrote, I put it in the coffin. It was in there when you was crying there away in the night. I was behind the door. And I was mighty sorry for you, Miss Mary Jane. It made my eyes water a little to remember her crying there all by herself in the night, them devils laying there right under her own roof, shaming her and robbing her. And when I folded it up and give it to her, I see the water come into her eyes, too. And she shook me by the hand hard and says, goodbye. I'm going to do everything just as you've told me, and if I don't ever see you again, I shan't ever forget you, and I'll think of you many and many a time. And I'll pray for you, too. And she was gone. Pray? For me? I reckoned if she'd knowed me, she'd take a job that was more nearer her size. But I bet she done it, just the same. She was just that kind. She had the grit to pray for Judas if she took the notion. There weren't no back down to her, I judge. You may say what you want to, but in my opinion, she had more sand in her than any girl I ever see. In my opinion, she was just full of sand. It sounds like flattery, but it ain't no flattery when it comes to beauty. Goodness, too. She lays over all of them. I ain't ever seen her since that time that I seen her go out of that door. No, I ain't ever seen her since. But I reckon I've thought of her many and many a million times. And of her saying she would pray for me. And if ever I'd have thought it would do any good for me to pray for her, blamed if I wouldn't have done it, or bust. Well, Mary Jane, she lit out the back way, I reckon, because nobody see her go. I struck Susan in the hare lip. I says, what's the name of them people over t'other side of the river that y'all goes to see sometimes? He says, well, there's several. It's Proctor's, mainly. That's the name, I says. I most forgot it. Well, Miss Mary Jane, she told me to tell you she's gone over there in a dreadful hurry. One of 'em's sick. Oh, which one? Well, I don't know. Leastways, I kind of forget. I think it's, sakes alive, I hope it ain't Hanner. I'm sorry to say it, I says, but Hanner's the very one. Oh, my goodness, and she's so well only last week. Is she took bad? Oh, it ain't no name for it. They set up with her all last night, Miss Mary Jane said. They don't think she'll last many hours. Oh, think of that now. Well, what's the matter with her? I couldn't think of anything reasonable right off that way, so I says, mumps. Mumps, your granny, they don't set up with people that's got mumps. They don't they? You better bet they do with these mumps. These mumps is different. It's a new kind, Miss Mary Jane said. How's it a new kind? "'Cause it's mixed up with other things. "'What other things? "'Well, measles and whooping cough and erysipelas "'and consumption and yellow janders and brain fever. "'I don't know what all. "'My land, they call it mumps. "'That's what Miss Mary Jane said. "'Well, what the nation they call it mumps for? "'Well, because it is the mumps. "'That's what it starts with. Well, there ain't no sense in it. A body might stump his toe, take poison, fall down the well, break his neck, push his brains out. Somebody come along, ask what killed him, some numbskull up and say why he stubbed his toe. Now, would there be any sense in that? No, there ain't no sense in this, neither. Is it catching? Is it catching? Well, how you talk, is a harrow catching in the dark? If you don't hitch on to one tooth, you're bound to on another, aren't you? And you can't get away with that tooth without fetching the whole harrow along, can you? Well, these kind of mumps is harrow, as you may say. It ain't no slouch of a harrow, neither you come to get hitched on good. Well, I think it's awful, I think, says the Hare Lip. I'll go to Uncle Harvey, and oh, yes, I said, I would, course I would. I wouldn't lose no time. Well, why wouldn't you? Now, just look at it a minute, and maybe you can see. Ain't your uncles obliged to get along home to England as fast as they can? Now, you reckon they'd be mean enough to go off and leave you by that journey all to yourselves? You know they'd wait for you. So far, so good. Now, your Uncle Harvey's a preacher, ain't he? Very well, then. Is a preacher going to deceive a steamboat clerk? Is he going to deceive a ship clerk? So as to get them to let Miss Mary Jane go aboard? Well, you know he ain't. What will he do? Well, he'll say it's a great pity, but my church matters has got to get along the best way they can. For my niece has been exposed to the dreadful pluribus unum mumps, and so it's my bounden duty to sit down here and wait 3 months it takes to show on her if she's got it. But never mind if you think it's best to tell your Uncle Harvey. Shucks! Stay fooling around here when we could all be having good times in England whilst we're waiting to find out whether Mary Jane's got it or not. You talk like a muggins. Well, anyway, maybe you better go tell some of the neighbors. Listen at that now. You'd be all for natural stupidness. Can't you see? They'd go and tell. Now, there ain't no way but just not tell anybody at all. Well, maybe you're right. Yes, I judge you are right. Well, I reckon we ought to tell Uncle Harvey she's gone out a while, anyway. So he won't be uneasy about her. Well, yes, Miss Mary Jane said she wanted you to do that. She says, tell him to give Uncle Harvey and William my love and a kiss, and say I've run over the river to see what is the name of that rich family your Uncle Peter used to think so much of? I mean the one that you must mean the Apthorpes. Of course, bother them names. A body can't ever seem to remember them half the time, somehow. Yeah, she said, say she's run over to ask the Apthorpes to be sure and come to the auction and buy this house, 'cause she allowed her Uncle Peter would rather they had it than anybody else, and she's going to stick to them till they say they'll come, and if she ain't too tired, she's coming home, and if she is, she'll be home in the morning anyway. She said, don't say nothing about the Proctors, but only about the Apthorpes, which will be perfectly true, because she is going there to speak about their buying the house. I know it, because she told me so herself. All right, they said, and cleared out to lay for their uncles, and give them love and kisses, and tell them the message. Everything was all right now. The girls wouldn't say nothing, because they wanted to go to England, and the King and the Duke would rather Mary Jane was off working for the auction than around in reach of Dr. Robinson. I felt very good. I judged I'd done it pretty neat. I reckon Tom Sawyer wouldn't have done no neater himself. Of course, he would have thrown more style into it, but I can't do that very handy, not being brought up to it. Well, they held the auction in the public square long toward the end of the afternoon, and it strung along and strung along. The old man, he was on hand and looking his level piousest up there alongside the auctioneer, chipping in a little scripture now and then, or a little goody-goody saying of some kind, and the Duke, he was around goo-gooing for sympathy, all he knowed how, just spreading himself generally. But by and by, the thing dragged through, and everything was sold, everything but a little old trifling lot in the graveyard. So they got to work that off. I never see such a giraffe as the King was for wanting to swallow everything. Well, whilst they was at it, a steamboat landed, and about 2 minutes, here comes a crowd of whooping and yelling and laughing and carrying on, singing out, here's your opposition line. Here's your two sets of heirs to old Peter Wilkes. You pays your money, and you takes your choice.